Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are going to go in depth about our favorite topic, the coronavirus, vaccinations, masks, all sorts of things with our friend, Dr. Melody McKenzie. Dr. Melody McKenzie is Regina's Hospital Director of Medical Affairs and Alina Hastings' lead primary care physician. And we're always so happy to chat it up with her. How have you been?
We're all seeing the sunshine coming out, and we're all getting hopeful that maybe we're seeing more return to a normal life finally.
Oh, it feels as if, but I want to get the official okay from you, because I just feel like we went from being super cautious to all of a sudden now I go places and people aren't wearing masks, and I have to be really honest with you, it makes me nervous. What is that just me, or is that a real thing?
Well, I think we're all cautiously optimistic. I think those of us who have been through this for the last year and seen the ups and downs, we wonder the same thing, because we're only 15 months into this virus, and we are still trying to immunize. We're trying to get to herd immunity. So we all are living this as it happens, and we have concerns, but there's reasons to be optimistic. The hospitalizations are going down. The vaccination rates are going up, and as long as we can keep vaccinating and keep impressing on people the importance of that, this should be continuing to improve.
So during this transition time, what are things like at the Alina Clinic? Do you wear a mask when you come in there? I haven't been there recently.
Right. So we still are seeing patients who are higher risk patients. So we have patients that are maybe immunosuppressed for some reason, can't be vaccinated. So to protect them and to protect everyone here, we are still masking. We are still wearing some kind of goggles or eye shields when we see patients. And then if someone has symptoms that we're concerned of for COVID, we still come in with a half respirator and more equipment, again, to protect them, but also to protect us. The vaccine, as we all remember, unfortunately, is not 100%. So we're still being very careful, especially here, because of the other people that are in the clinic.
So are you still having your COVID testing site around the area? Are you having a lot of people come in for COVID tests?
So we're not seeing as many people being tested, and we always, that's always the hard thing, because that's part of how we make decisions statewide, countywide, and countrywide. So when people don't get tested, we hope that it's because they don't have symptoms, and we hope that it's not because they don't want to find out they have COVID and be forced to quarantine. So we always remind people that, you know, knowledge is power. So if you think you might have COVID, even if you've been vaccinated, you should still be tested. The vaccine is not 100%.
You know, this last year, in particular this last winter, I know I've talked to people about the fact that I usually get a bronchitis or I get a pneumonia once. I always get a flu shot, so, you know, sometimes the flu is hit or miss. But I did not get either bronchitis or pneumonia this last year, and I chalk it up to everybody wearing a mask and being careful about, just more diligent, I guess, about washing our hands and stuff. Did you see a decrease at the Alina Clinic?
Right. We saw that not only at the clinic, but we saw it throughout the state and throughout the country. Influenza, really, there was not any influenza. There was a few cases here and there. Even in hospitalized patients, when they're hospitalized and with flu-like symptoms, obviously we test them for COVID, but we also tested them for influenza, and we really didn't see that influenza surge. We didn't see a lot of mono. We didn't see strep. We saw less ear infections. Now, that's wonderful. Obviously, we can't. What we did this year is not going to be ever something that we can reproduce unless we have another surge or some other pandemic, but it does show how being careful makes a difference. Obviously, some of it was because no one was around other people. That's not going to happen. We'll go back to hugging people, and we'll be back to celebrations, so we will see an increase, but it does show you that there are things we can do, being careful when you're, you know, washing your hands, being your not around people when you're feeling sick. Those things do make a difference.
It's shocking, but I agree with you. I mean, I've talked to so many people that say the same thing, but yet they you know, they agree with you that you can't just keep going on wearing a mask everywhere you go. If we do choose to wear a mask, because I might still wear a mask, is that right. That's just helping other people? It's not helping me?
Well, so it does help you to some extent. So if someone's at risk because they can't get vaccinated, or maybe they're worried the vaccination doesn't work as well for them, we still encourage them to mask. What I tell my patients who are highest risk, for example, someone who's immunosuppressed because of cancer or they've had a transplant, I actually tell them to use a disposable mask with a cloth mask over top or a cloth mask with some type of filter. So it does help them. The biggest reason we started masking is obviously to prevent me from giving it to someone else, or from us, someone wearing the mask, to give it from someone else, but it does also help prevent.
So double masking is what you would recommend to somebody that feels very at risk?
If they're very, very high. Now, again, that's being super cautious. Even any mask, either a disposable mask or a cloth mask, will help decrease your risk. And then just being careful. If you're really high risk, still being careful. I think for the general population who is lower risk, if you're younger and you're healthy and you don't have underlying medical problems and you've been vaccinated, you can be around other people who are vaccinated indoors safely without masking. You can be outdoors without a mask. So there's a lot of freedom that comes with being vaccinated and being healthy. We're talking about those people who are still at high risk, that they may still want to be careful.
You know, I agree that I feel much safer now that I have had I'm fully vaccinated. However, I have heard of more than one case of COVID still breaking through to people that have had a full vaccination and they've waited the amount of time they're supposed to and all these other things. What do you say to that? Are you seeing that at the Allina Clinic?
Yeah, we are seeing some cases. We know that none of the vaccines were 100%. Even Pfizer initially was in the 90s percentage, but that still means that there's some people who aren't fully immune. And then you take in time, and then you take in people who maybe their immune system doesn't work as well because they're elderly or their immune system just isn't as good. They're on immunosuppressants. They may lose immunity faster, or they may not respond to the vaccine as well. The Johnson & Johnson is a perfect example. I think the percentage with immunity was 76%, but it was 100% for decreasing the risk of death, which is what we wanted. So it all comes down to herd immunity. These vaccines are really good. The less COVID that's in the community, though, the less breakthrough cases we'll see, because those people who didn't get that 100% will be less likely to be exposed. So that's what herd immunity comes in, and that's why we keep talking about how important it is to get a whole bunch of people vaccinated, because the vaccines aren't 100%.
Can you see, just from people coming in that have had breakthrough COVID, are all the vaccines equally as effective, or are you seeing some that might be more effective?
I don't know the numbers on that one. I'd hate to say the exact numbers, but we know that different vaccines work different for different strains and for different people. But I wouldn't promote one over the other. The most important thing is the amount of people we get vaccinated with any of the three vaccines.
You know, you mentioned herd immunity, and that's a word that we've heard now for the last probably 15 months. Can you explain it again? I think I understand it, but I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, so what herd immunity is, if you think of us as one big pack, and there's a bunch of us and we're all vaccinated, if everyone's vaccinated and the vaccine's really good, the chances that the one person who didn't get that full immunity is exposed to someone who has the has the COVID virus is very slim. So the more people around us that are protected, the less likely that person who's at risk is going to be exposed. So the latest study that came out of Johns Hopkins last month looked at patients who were transplant patients, which we obviously understand that they're very high risk. They take immunosuppressants. They have something in their body that's not theirs, so they're on all these medications so they don't reject it. So they're very high risk. And unfortunately, they showed that those transplant patients that had had two vaccines, 46% of them did not get any immunity. So if you think of that person walking around, herd immunity is to protect them. So the vaccine that we're all getting is to help those people. Or there may be someone else. You may be someone whose immune system doesn't work as well, or you're older and the vaccine immunity doesn't last as long. Vaccinating everyone around you is what helps protect you.
You know, that's kind of a frightening statistic.
Right. So those, and it makes us all sad that those patients that are the highest risk did not respond as well as we wanted. Now, some did get antibodies, so it's not like they didn't. But again, they're taking lots of medications to suppress their immune system, so it makes sense. So then if you think about that, people who are older don't respond as well to vaccines, so they will get immunity, probably not as good as someone who's 20, but it may wane with time, and that's why we're starting to talk about, are people going to need boosters? But there are people that are at higher risk that really rely on us to get vaccinated.
Well, let's talk about boosters, because that's certainly something that we've heard. Is it something similar to the flu shot where you would get one every year?
Yeah, and that's what we don't know. So there's the flu shot we get every year. If you look at whooping cough, our immunity for whooping cough goes down with age. So we do booster people at 5, and then we booster them later, and now we have an adult tetanus that has a whooping cough. And that's a perfect example, because whooping cough, we don't vaccinate someone when they're 60 for whooping cough to protect them. We vaccinate them at 60 and boost their immunity, so hopefully they don't give it to a baby who is at higher risk of getting really sick with whooping cough.
Oh, okay. So we will find out when, do you think, about boosters?
Yeah. One more thing to add to the list of we don't know yet.
Is that a question that you get asked a lot?
Right. We do, and obviously we don't know. We it sounds like we probably will, but we don't know yet. The most important thing right now is getting people with that first shot, as many as we can, so the numbers keep going down and we see the hospitalizations go down. We don't have to worry about those people who maybe didn't get as good of a response. And that's what we're starting to see. So we just have to keep encouraging people to get vaccinated.
You know, like the flu, how the numbers seem to go down in the summer months around here because we're probably outside more. Do you think that new COVID cases, the same thing would happen even if somebody is a spreader, even if they might have COVID?
Right. So we're always safer outside, so we know that that will make a difference. So we hope that some of the numbers will go down because of that. And as we open up, that's, I think, some of the hope. What's going to happen in the next few months and 6 months and a year, you know, we can just guess, and people way above me are hoping and modeling and trying to figure that out.
So as far as vaccinations go, I know that there's been, you know, talk about, gosh, is it safe to have a COVID vaccine if I'm pregnant? What is the answer to that, please?
Right. So we know that COVID is actually very dangerous to pregnant women. So just like I always say, pregnant women are like little babies and the elderly patients. Their immune system doesn't work as well. So to carry a baby inside you that is only 50% you and 50% someone else, your immune system can't be 100%. So that's why we know pregnant women are actually higher risk than someone else their age of having complications. And we know that. We know that some pregnant women get very, very sick with COVID. We know that the vaccine, it's not a live virus, so we don't give live vaccines to pregnant women, but we do have lots of experience in giving non-live vaccines to pregnant women, and we know that this vaccine has been studied. We've given it to women who were in the initial studies who were told not to get pregnant and did get pregnant, and we know that those women who got the vaccine right around the time that they got pregnant had no increased risk of complications. And they also have shown that women who get COVID while they're pregnant actually get more antibodies than if they actually had the disease. It goes to their baby, so it helps protect their baby from COVID, and it actually, their antibodies are actually present in their breast milk, so they give some of their antibodies to the baby via their breast milk as well.
You mentioned it's not a live vaccine, but yet how come we had a bit of malaise after our vaccinations?
Right. So that's our body responding to the vaccine. So we see the same thing. Shingrix is another example where some people will feel really lousy after the vaccine, not everyone. And that's our body responding and sending those antibodies out and responding to the virus. So it's the proteins, or in this case, sometimes it's protein, sometimes it's the RNA. Our body's seeing it and it's reacting to it. And that's what we're seeing, is that response to parts of the virus.
So let's talk about kids, you know, like the teen age. They're the ones that seem to have a lot of interaction with each other. Would you recommend getting a vaccine for your teens, or for your, is it 12 and up now?
It's now 12 and up, yeah. And so, again, it's herd immunity. So most children do not get sick. Very few children in the United States have died, but there have been some deaths. And we talked, I think, one other time about that multi-system inflammatory syndrome that children can get. We need to vaccinate everyone so that we can protect everyone. So if you're a teenager and you can get vaccinated, then you don't have to worry if you're around someone else who, again, their immune system doesn't work. So the teenagers, yes, we help protect them, but we're also helping protect everyone around them because, yes, they do spread things around more. They tend to be in bigger groups. They tend to be closer socially in terms of distancing, so they can spread things around. They're less likely to get sick, but they're more likely to spread it to someone else who could get very sick.
Do you think that the number will even go down lower, the age below 12, or what do you think?
Yes, they're just doing the study. So they wanted to do the studies to get the older patients first, and then they're bringing it down, and now they're doing the next group down. They're hoping by the fall. I don't know if it'll be before school starts or after school starts. So we can be hopeful that hopefully this fall, before school or shortly after school, that it will probably go down to age 5, I think.
Dr. Melanie McKenzie, what did you actually talk about a year and a half ago?
Well, the things that we're trying to convince people to go back to now, you know, all the other things that people have put off, so mammograms and colonoscopy and exercising and eating healthy, all the things we do to try and keep ourselves healthy and keep out of my office and keep out of the emergency room. All the public health things that we usually talk about and how to keep ourselves healthy and live our lives to the best we can.
Absolutely. So don't put off any preventative care, yes?
Yes. And we're seeing people come back, but we still know people are delaying. So there's still a big backlog of patients who have not come in for follow-up of their blood pressure or their diabetes or their screening tests. So people need to start taking care of those things so that they can live as long and healthy as they can.
Well, we so appreciate all your insights into things. Thank you so much. How can people get a hold of someone at the Allina Clinic?
They can do it a couple ways. The most important way, there's lots of information if you're talking about COVID on the CDC, the Department of Health, the Allina website. And then I would encourage people, if they have concerns specifically about their health, schedule an appointment, come in, and we can go through everything with them and talk about their health in general and what they can do to stay healthy.
Love it. Dr. Melody McKenzie, she is Regina Hospital's Director of Medical Affairs and Allina Hastings' lead primary care physician. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.